Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellefson. Happy Friday! Yay! Hey, it might get to be 70 tomorrow. That's what I would call Indian summer. I'm looking forward to a nice weekend of maybe sleeping until, I don't know, 7 or 8 a.m. Wouldn't that be something? I'd be delighted with it. Well, I am delighted that you are tuning in to WSAU and the feedback program this morning. If you have missed any of our programming during the course of this past week, or even longer ago than that, you can always go out to WSAU.com. Our podcasts are available. The full 4 hours of broadcasting programming gold is available on our website. So be sure to check it out if you've missed any of the interviews on feedback from earlier this past week. And if I could commit to memory, which, you know, oh my gosh, my memory is like a, I can't even remember what my memory is like, but my memory is like a piece of Swiss cheese. Just can't remember from one day to the next. I will remind you, because I'm now looking at my handy dandy old school calendar. Monday I had Kicking It with Kevin Hermaning, and I'm hoping he'll be joining me again on this coming Monday. Putting you on the spot, Kevin. Hope to chat with you on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I had, and why can I not remember? Oh, yes, Sean Kennedy, who was a visiting fellow from the Maryland Institute for something. I can't remember his organization, but Policy Institute. Wow, thanks. I got that one. And then Lucas Weber, who joined me on Wednesday from Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, talked about the lawsuit against Tony Evers' parole commission. Dr. Pierre Corey, always a fan favorite, always a Meg favorite as well, he joined me yesterday on feedback. Well, today's guest is you, and I encourage you, if you'd like to join in the conversation, 715-845-2155. Chris and I often talk about this, or at least allude to it, in our conversations during the course of the Wisconsin Morning News, and I've obviously talked about it as well on feedback, but just the degradation of the American family, and this is sort of the root, it's not even sort of, it is the root of really all that's wrong in our society is that the erosion of a two-person family, a mom and a dad, and that are both engaged and involved in their children's lives. And obviously there are circumstances that are beyond certain people, you know, beyond certain people's control. But obviously the ideal and the way in which God intended it to be is a two-person family, a mom and a dad, raising together their children. And I wanted to share this article that I saw called Preserve Our Little Platoons. And I loved it. I loved it so much that I wanted to share it with you this morning. The family unit is the essence of American society. While the family unit continues to give America its societal backbone, it faces increasing criticism and scrutiny. Calls for the abolition of the family unit resound from the woke left. The Black Lives Matter website championed the dismantling of the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. I'll just interrupt myself for a second. Who was a big proponent of Black Lives Matter? Yes, Mandela Barnes, candidate for United States Senate. Keep that in mind as I continue. So Black Lives Matter called the Western prescribed nuclear family structure as patriarchal and oppressive. In place of the family unit, the trained Marxists in charge of BLM plan to institute mythical, collectivized, extended families. Remember Hillary Clinton used to say, it takes a village, that will assume responsibility for child rearing. Nuh-uh, mom and dad, two-person family. Well, two-parent family, excuse me. The family structure as we know it is one of the few safeguards against socialism and the degeneration of society. That's why the left hates it so much. Calls them out on who they actually are. Prominent feminist authors published by esteemed presses offer polemics on doing away with the family in the name of care and liberation at a time when America leads the world in single-parent households. The traditional family is in desperate need of defense. Why should, you know, that's what's so frustrating about this, is why should we have to defend what's right? Well, we have to, but why should we have to defend? Well, I'll continue. A top-down, centralized, universal preschool program and child care services were proposed recently for 3 and 4 year olds to advance democracy. However, studies show that sending children to industrialized daycare, you know how the public schools are always pushing. I mean, you know, I remember when my youngest son went to kindergarten. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I was so sad. I mean, I was so sad. I can't say anticipating, but I knew the day was coming when both my children would be in school full-time. But when we lived in Minnesota, our neighborhood school had only half-day kindergarten. And so in my mind, I was like, well, I still get to have him for a half day. I still get to spend this quality time with my little boy. But then when we moved to Wisconsin, everything changed. And it was, he was off to kindergarten full time. Well, imagine my surprise when they have these, what do they call it, pre-K classes. And they have the four-year-olds going to school half-time. And now I've read that there are three-year-olds that are going to be, they're trying to push three-year-olds. Why do you suppose that is? They want to get to the hearts and minds of those children even sooner. So anyway, back to this article. Studies show that sending children to industrialized daycare can increase behavioral and psychological problems, even in two-parent families. While advocates across the political spectrum see daycare as a boon for low-income families, children will never receive the same love and attention from daycare providers as from their own families. I can attest to that. I mean, I can't even imagine what it would have been like. And I'm not criticizing those of you who have no other choice than to send your children to daycare. However, my husband and I made a decision. I mean, as great as it was to have two incomes coming in, we decided that it was the sacrifice was well worth it for me to stay at home and be raising our children rather than putting them in daycare. That was our decision, and I will not regret it for a second. And I know that both of my boys would say, they talk about the fun things that we used to do when they were little, they were at home. And I mean, it was treasured time or cherished time, especially when it was one-on-one with mom or even with dad sometimes. Well, advocates across the political spectrum, and I said this, see daycare as a boon for low-income families, children won't receive the same love and attention. There may be instances where government should intervene in raising children, as in the case of domestic abuse or child neglect, but the idea that the state should be a co-parent should not be normalized. Parents have a pivotal role to play in changing this dismal tide, because the difference between woke tyranny and a free society lies in how the youth are educated and raised. Burke called the family the little platoon we belong to in society and the germ of public affections. The family teaches its children to be virtuous, inculcates a moral sense, teaches how to discern right from wrong, and is built on mutual love and concern. Without this platoon fulfilling its duty, children can fall prey to the metastasizing pathologies of DEI, anti-racism, victimhood, and transgenderism, estranged from the truth. And you know what DEI is? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. I like to call it DIE, diversity, inclusion, and equity. It makes for a much more, you can understand it a lot better. I know there's a better word for it, but I'm losing it. When the family is turned into a machine to produce children to serve the state, as in Soviet Russia, or to be the vanguard of Mao's cultural revolution, it is no longer capable of fulfilling its role of the little platoon. Children become conditioned to be servile drones of the regime. The push for critical race theory in America's public schools today serves a similar ideological function, molding children into social justice warriors and champions of equity. Families must be vigilant about what their children are learning in school. you know, if there was a silver lining in this, well, you know, the shamdemic and the shutdown of schooling or schools and the virtual environment, it would be the parents. Woo! We found out a whole lot about what's going on with learning and teaching in the public schools. And that includes in private education, which is also susceptible to the same woke indoctrination practices we expect to find in government schools. They cannot blindly trust. Parents cannot blindly trust bureaucrats and teachers' unions to teach what is in their child's best interest. Parents are their child's best advocate. Furthermore, if a child grows up rootless, lacking a connection to his or her family or community for social and financial support, they are more likely to turn to socialism and services from the state to order their life. That explains a whole lot, doesn't it? The state cannot replace the role of the parents as moral teacher, which is why the family and civil society must be there to point children in the right direction. Intact families are a catalyst for poverty eradication. Studies show that children in one-parent families are more likely to drop out of high school, have children young, and work less compared to two-parent families. It is harder for one parent to provide the proper attention and nurturing that a child needs to flourish. And if children grow up in financially responsible families, they are less likely to be deceived by the leftist lure of free college education. Thanks, Brandon. Housing, health care, UBI, and the other goodies of modern serfdom that the regime dangles before the disaffected. Anyone against socialism and the triumph of woke ideology must defend the nuclear family structure, as neither can exist without the negation of the family. Friedrich Engels wrote that socialism would do away with the family, its reliance on private property, and the children's dependence on the parents. The little platoon of the family must stand and fight for the truth amid the onslaught of propaganda from those who want to dismantle capitalism, objective truth, and Western civilization. Stand up for the traditional family. Hey, time to take your call, 715-845-2155. Good morning and welcome to Feedback. You're on with Meg.
Hi, Meg. This is Dan from Merrill. I don't often have a capability of calling you because I am working, but my phone in my pocket with your app going and Bluetooth in my ear, and I listen to you when I start work at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Woohoo!
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All righty. You win the prize for today, Dan.
I think we're kind of missing the boat in a way. We seem to be picking a subject here, a subject here, a subject here, being diminishing of the children, like you were just saying, the taking out of all the criminals out. They're trying to make it to where they're calling for our guns back. Everything they're doing is going for one spot, one thing only, to imprison us in their logic and in their, my mind is, I can't keep up with my mind.
That's all right. That happens to me every single day, Dan. Well, I get what you're saying. And I mean, I think you're right, is that, They want us to be dependent on them. That's ultimately the goal. I mean, is that the point you're getting at?
Yeah, they're trying to imprison us. Mm. This is a fight for our freedom.
Mm. Yeah,
the only way to, if we don't win this fight at our ballot boxes, I'm not calling for it. I'm not wanting it, but I'm afraid it's going to turn into a civil war.
I know. I have that same fear. I mean, I think, you know, people can only be pushed so far. And again, neither Dan nor I are calling for that. Neither Dan nor I support something like that. However, I agree. It is a concern. It is a fear. When people are are threatened to have their freedoms taken away from them. And as you said, very, very eloquently, imprisoned. That's indeed what they are trying to do. And you, great point, Dan. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. I appreciate you tuning in for the full hours of programming broadcasting gold. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back. And to take more of your calls this morning on feedback, 715-845-2155. Joining me on WSAU Feedback, I'm Meg Ellefson. I promise I'll be taking your calls during the next half of Feedback, all the way up until the program ends. I don't have time to take your call right now, so I will jump to calls right after the news comes up in about a minute or so. I will share this with you. Hey, whoever's subscribing me to all these Democrat email lists, thanks a lot. It makes for really good program content. This from United States Representative Jamie Raskin. Didn't even bother to look up where he's from because he's a Democrat. I don't care. As the DCCC, that seems kind of, it almost seems sort of, I don't know, Russian. The Democrat Congressional something-something campaign, first ever organizing chair. I'm reaching out with a big request. This is how they roll. Can you chip in money before the final end of quarter deadline? House Democrats are making bold, I tell you, historic investments to win every last vote in every last district, because this is why it's going to be a tough road for Democrats, because Republicans evidently have amassed a staggering war chest. They're passing, did you know that Republicans are passing voter suppression laws? No, you know what, actually, we just want fair and honest elections. Is that too much to ask? You show an ID when you buy a pack of cigarettes, or a bottle of liquor, or when you get a library card or a passport. Why shouldn't you have to show your ID when you vote? What do you have to hide? I mean, how hard is it to show your ID when you go to vote? This is why we question the motives of Democrats. And then the final thing is Democrat Jamie Raskin, reminds us that the House majority is already one of the slimmest in modern history. Yeah, we're going to actually take it back, so it doesn't matter. Hey, we got to go to break. The news is up next, followed by your calls on Feedback, 715-845-2155.